My name is David, which in Hebrew means beloved. I really can't tell you why my parents gave me that name, but I like to think that they wanted me to remember God loves me, even as God loves every one of you. It's this love of God for all of us which is the heart of my Advent greeting for you this morning. Rejoice in God's forgiveness. I speak from experience when I say this, for I was fortunate to receive God's forgiveness, knowing very well that I did not deserve it. As you hear my story, I hope that you will know that God has forgiven you also. And I pray that you too will rejoice in God's forgiveness. Now, some of you may be surprised that I'm not wearing a king's robes or a crown, for you know that I was a great king. Some even think of me as the greatest king of all time. But I was a shepherd before I became a king. And I like to wear these shepherd robes as a reminder, not only of where I came from, but that Jesus is my good shepherd as he is yours as well. My father's name was Jesse, and he too was a shepherd. I was the youngest of eight boys, and if you have older brothers and sisters, you know what that means. It means you do what they tell you to and what they don't want to do themselves. We lived in Bethlehem, the same village in which Jesus was born, but he wasn't born until 1,000 years after I lived there. When I was a young man, the prophet Samuel came to our home to anoint me as king to serve after Saul. But I didn't move to the palace right away. Saul was still king at the time. And soon after I was anointed by Samuel, I was summoned to the palace to play my harp for King Saul. And he didn't know that God had said that I would be the next king. An evil spirit was afflicting him, and he found relief and calm when I played the harp. Although I knew that I was going to be king, I still considered Saul my king and served him faithfully until God determined it was time for me to take his place. And my service at the palace was not a full-time job. King Saul would often let me go home to Bethlehem and tend my father's sheep, which I loved to do, especially after my older brothers had been called to serve in the army and went with Saul to war against the Philistines. One time my father sent me to take food and provisions to my brothers at the battlefront, and when I arrived there, I heard the bragging taunts of the Philistine giant Goliath, and I'm sure you've heard of Goliath. Well, he really was a giant. 9 feet tall, his armor alone weighed 125 pounds. A real monster. And every morning and every evening for 40 days, Goliath came out to this no man's land between the two armies and taunted Israel. Taunted them to select one who would fight against him. And Goliath's proposition was that he would fight any Israelite soldier. Whichever man would kill the other, that man's army and nation would be victorious, and the slain soldier's country would be enslaved by the victors. But that's not really what bothered me. What really bothered me is how Goliath blasphemed God. I couldn't believe the things that he was saying about Yahweh God. And neither could I believe the fear and the cowardice that I saw in the faces of the Israelite soldiers, including my older brothers. Ours is the God who made heaven and earth and all that is in them. And I knew that that God who had delivered us out of slavery in Egypt, he could certainly deliver us from this arrogant giant soldier. In fact, I was ashamed that no one else was willing to risk their lives to defend the name of Yahweh God. So I said I'd do it. No one took me seriously at first. They laughed at me. Finally, King Saul agreed to let me go fight Goliath, and at first they tried to put the king's armor on me, but it was too big and heavy, I could hardly move. So I took that off, I put my shepherd's robes on, and with my staff in my hand and my sling, which I always used against animals that were trying to attack my sheep, I set off. And on my way, I picked up 5 smooth stones from a dry stream and put them into my pouch. And when I showed up, Goliath did not regard me as a threat. Try a pest. He compared me to a mosquito. I told him I was going to fight him in the name of the Lord God Almighty. And as he came closer, swinging his enormous sword, I put a stone into my sling, wound it up, let it fly, sunk right into his forehead, dropped him. A little guy like me had leveled Goliath in God's name, and then our army routed the Philistines, and I became a national hero. And that created a huge problem for me, because King Saul became jealous. He tried to kill me on several occasions. I don't know what I would have done without my best friend Jonathan, who happened to be King Saul's son. He spoke up on my defense on several occasions when his father would start to rant and rave, even though it was dangerous for him to defend me. But finally, I had to flee for my life, and Saul pursued me. And there were several times I could have gotten the drop on him and killed him if I had wanted to. But I didn't. In my mind, he was still the Lord's anointed king. But after a very tempestuous period, God allowed the Philistines a smashing victory over Israel, in which King Saul and his sons, including my best friend, were killed. And from that time on, I, David, was king of Israel. By the grace of God, and I want to emphasize that, by the grace of God, I was a great king. Those were glory days for my people Israel. Days that were looked back upon with great fondness and great pining in the years to come, but I'm getting far ahead of myself as I say that. There was a dark period in my reign that if I'm going to do any good for you, I must tell you about. It started when I foolishly committed both adultery and murder. Some of you know the story. I am not proud of what happened. The army was at war. I, the commander-in-chief, should have been with my men at the battlefront. But instead, I stayed behind in Jerusalem that day. And one evening, I saw a beautiful woman taking a bath on the flat roof of her home nearby, which may sound odd to you, but our roofs were like porches. We would go up to the roof after the sun has set in the cool of the day and just do what we wanted to do. And what I wanted to do was watch this woman. And as I did, a dark desire possessed me. I sent my servants to go retrieve her, bring her to the palace. I imposed my sinful urges upon this woman. Her name was Bathsheba, and her husband, Uriah, was one of my faithful, good, rugged soldiers. I hatched a plan in those days. I sent Uriah to the front lines where he was almost certainly going to perish in battle, and that's precisely what happened. I figured I had been successful, that I'd covered up my adultery by arranging to have Uriah killed. And after that, I married Bathsheba, and I thought no one would ever know. And that as king, I deserved this. I was used to getting what I wanted. And I pushed it in this case. But God sees all. God revealed my sin to the prophet Nathan. And Nathan was brave enough to confront me, the king. I noticed that this story was reproduced in your bulletins today. Nathan using a story to entrap me. I'm still moral enough to know right from wrong. And so in the story that Nathan told about a single ewe lamb belonging to an individual, I admitted that man should die for what he has done. And a flock restored to the man who had been robbed fourfold. And I will never forget when that prophet had the nerve to stand there in my court and look at me and say, "You are the man." And instantly I was stricken to the heart. Nathan was wise enough to lead me down that path so that I realized the gravity of my actions. The only good thing about that sorry chapter in my life is that then Nathan proclaimed God's forgiveness to me. To me, after what I had done. Now, you may know I like to write. I've written a lot. And I tried to capture in words what I was thinking and feeling in these moments of hearing God's forgiveness proclaimed. And this is part of what I came up with in one of the songs that I wrote. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. I was well aware God could do anything that he wanted with me in these moments. He would have been right to send me away, send me off of the throne, punish me severely. I deserved any of it. I deserved all of it. And instead, I was forgiven, absolved by the proclamation of that simple prophet, pardoned by God. The consequences of my sin remained. There were things I had to deal with, certainly. Family troubles dogged me for the rest of my life. And what I mean is that my own son, Absalom, led an armed revolt and tried to dethrone me. And at first it looked as though this rebellion would be successful, but God, in his mercy, gave us the victory. And Absalom died. Believe me when I say how deeply his death grieved me. And he was a rebel. He wanted my throne, but he was my son. I loved him dearly. Eventually, another son, Absalom, born to Bathsheba, succeeded me as king. And it was he who built that majestic temple in Jerusalem. I wanted to build the temple for God, but he wouldn't let me. I loved God so very much because of his everlasting mercy, his faithfulness, his goodness to me and our nation far beyond what we had ever deserved. No, God would not have me build his house of worship. But he gave me an honor even more precious. The promise that my throne would endure forever and that one of my descendants would reign on it for eternity. That Savior, born on what you call Christmas, would be acclaimed as, are you ready? David's son, yet David's Lord. He would come from my family, but he was also God from eternity past. So many years passed before he was born. My earthly life didn't last nearly long enough to witness it myself. And I tell you, I envy you who are privileged to live with the full knowledge of Jesus' birth and his death and his resurrection from the dead and his ascension to rule. You know now, today, that your Savior has rescued you from sin, from death, from hell, from every evil. Just like he rescued me. The prophet Isaiah, born about 250 years after I was, also knew the Savior God. Now I understand he came to speak with you last week. He was a prophet, filled mightily with God's Spirit, who prophesied a shoot will come from the stump of Jesse, my father. And that's why the people of Jerusalem welcomed Jesus on Palm Sunday by crying out. They cried out a lot of things, but one of the things they cried out was, "Save us, O Son of David." And I think you know the rest of the story. He did save us. That's the joy of Christmas. So like me, you can rejoice in the promise found in another one of my psalms. Surely, goodness and mercy are shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Rejoice in God's forgiveness.